You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome. Welcome to our show today, Your Ultimate Life. And I've got this crazy background with, it looks like a big cathedral, and there's people everywhere and a bright light. And behind my shoulder, you can't really see it. There's a guy down there in the platform. And I picked this picture. I actually had AI create it for me. And here was the prompt. The prompt was, I wanted to talk today about creating life, creating your life. You know, we're at a crossroads. We're at a crossroads in the world. We've got wars in multiple places. The obvious big ones are in Ukraine and in Israel. But there are other things in the United States, which is facing an election here pretty soon. Now, I live in Canada, but my wife and I are both Canadian and U.S., so we watch that with great interest. And of course, we're going to vote. But there's a lot of, you know, animosity and negativity and a lot of helplessness, a lot of feeling that you have no control over your life and a lot of shrugging. Yeah, it doesn't matter who gets elected and it doesn't matter. I can't do anything about it anyway. You know, that sort of feeling, and that gives rise to something I've talked about three or four weeks ago called learned helplessness. We're not going to talk about that today, although learned helplessness, victim mindset, entitlement, and addiction to mediocrity are all symptoms of you or me giving up on our ability to create your life. Now, this picture here is, you know, representative of the power. And the prompt was, I want to talk about how you're the architect of your life, your architect of your existence, and you create your own life. And I told the AI to make it colorful and powerful. And so then there's this big piece of pillar of fire coming down. And, you know, it was great. So I picked this background on purpose. And here's why. I want you to sit in this idea that you have power. We sometimes, I won't say just you, we, any of us, we live in the idea that we're powerless, that the forces that be, the forces around us, whether it's political machinery or economies or government or parents or family or anything, control everything about us and that we're just miserable little pawns doomed to suffer whatever those things around us give us for our crumbs. And I've said it in that sort of pejorative way on purpose to make a point. It's not true. It's not even a little bit true. Now, we're going to say this once, and then we're not going to talk about it again. I'm not pretending that I or you control the weather, the economy, what other people do, how people vote, who gets elected by ourselves. We should vote. I'm not pretending we individually control that. But here's what I know. Even if you did and you controlled the economy and the weather and everything else, it still wouldn't give you the life experience that you are looking for. I'm talking to somebody earlier today who's very successful in business, multiple seven-figure companies, and he's on his way to a $100 or $200 million company with what he's building right now. And he said this to me. He said, you know, I created money and money and money and money. And you know what? That didn't create happiness. You think that money and power and position does? You're just not, it's not true. I've been there and I went to dark places. This guy said exactly the same thing. And a little while ago, just a few years ago, he had an experience where he was in a life-threatening situation in the hospital. And he realized, duh, at that moment of great alarm, that his life had not meant what he wanted it to mean. Cash doesn't create meaning. It allows us to do cool stuff, but it doesn't create meaning and impact. You create that, and you can start today. So today, we're going to talk about 10 things. 10 ways, 10 truths that are not just airy-fairy ideas, 10 real truths about how you and I, on a minute-to-minute and day-to-day basis, are the architect of our lives. And that means how much we enjoy every day, or don't enjoy every day. Ah, my little tree of life is hiding. How much we enjoy or don't enjoy every day. Your ultimate life is creating a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. Do you have a purpose? And if you say to me, well, I haven't found it yet, you're missing the point. You choose a purpose. You choose what your life is about. Looking for it in the backyard or waiting for it to come from Amazon is never going to happen. Do you have purpose? Are you creating prosperity both in money, financial situations, and in relationship, and in health, and in love, and in relationship to the infinite? Are you creating that? Are you experiencing joy, deep satisfaction and joy on a daily basis? If the answer is no to one or more of those, it isn't drama. It isn't like saying there's something wrong with you. It is saying that you're missing your birthright. Your birthright is to have purpose, prosperity, and joy. And today we're going to talk about 10 ways that you can create that, have it, own it. Not once in a while, not when the days go good, not when the weather's right, not when everybody does what you want, any time you choose. Now that sounds bold, and I know it, and I intend it to. I have walked the journey from misery, from having more money than I needed, and from being miserable and all the stuff that goes with it, to a place where I live today in absolute excitement and joy. Every day, I love to get up. I love what I have. I love what I have to do. I love you. I love the people I talk to and work with. I've had today just some clients, just fabulous, heartwarming, meaningful conversations of growth and possibility. And it isn't magic and it isn't luck. It is a creation. And this is what we're going to talk about. What are the tools to create that? And you have them. They're not one of those things where you say, well, when I have enough money, I'll buy that tool and then I can do it. I used to do that in the recording studio. It's over there. I'm pointing over there all the time. Well, if I just had this software, this piece of gear, or this preamp or microphone, or this, then everything. It's not true. You can make magnificent stuff with what you have right here, right now. All right, number one. I have to, and this is assuming you want to create your life, purpose, prosperity, and joy. This is assuming you really want to do that. You have to recognize the power of choice. Every decision, however small, shapes the direction and trajectory of our lives. Whether you wear this shirt or that shirt, I'll give you an example. We have had in our home for a couple of years a wonderful Ukrainian family, a mother and daughter that fled the war right after it started in 2022. They've been with us a little over 2 years. June in this year was 2 years, so that 2 years and a couple of months. Day before yesterday was Ukrainian Independence Day, and so we decided to take Sunday, which was yesterday or day before yesterday. Saturday was Independence Day, actually, but they're having a celebration on Sunday out at the Ukrainian Cultural Heritage Center, which is a very large settlement, kind of reconstructed settlement about an hour east of Edmonton, Alberta, where we live. Now, that is been constructed a long time because over the last 100 years, a lot of Ukrainians immigrated here. And so there were been a lot of Ukrainians in Western Canada, particularly in this area. So over the years, they took some old buildings and brought it together. And it was a place where you could go to see how things were 100 years ago. And Joy and I had been out there several times. We decided to go out. And this time, because of the Independence Day celebration, they had a big shindig out there on Sunday. So we decided to go. Now, that was a choice. That was a decision, a small decision. And I said, every decision affects the trajectory of your life. So let me tell you what happened. We went out there and there were a bunch of, you know, the lieutenant governor of Canada, the lieutenant governor of Canada, which is the Queen's representative here. It's a big deal, right? All the way out here in Ukraine at that celebration. And the mayor of Edmonton and, you know, some other dignitaries were there and they gave some talks. for a few minutes, recognizing and thanking everybody that had put it together and all the kind of stuff. And what happened for me because of that small choice is as I sat there, the reality, the truth of the struggle for freedom that is going on in that particular country. And that's not the only struggle, and I get it, but that was a setting for me to experience this yearning for freedom and a rekindling of gratitude for what I have, where I live, with all their faults, the U.S. and Canada and their governments and everything else, and the yearning and struggling of people to be free. And it was very emotional. I could just sense in the music, and I don't speak Ukrainian, but in the music and the talks, I could feel something. Now, that little decision, it could have been nothing. I could have been out there bored. It was hot. I had to wear a hat so I didn't burn because I got no hair on top, right? And it could have been uncomfortable, and it could have been this, that, and the other. But instead, I chose choice to get caught up in the meaning of that thing. And so I came back with a powerful memory, with a recommitment to do everything I can, not only for that ending conflict, for creating love, for doing good. Now, the residual impact was I have felt different now for 2 days. I have been more aware of and more focused on not just that conflict, but conflict in general and how to create peace and harmony and how to do good with the business that I have, the coaching business, and this whole ultimate life thing, purpose, prosperity, and joy. And so that one decision is now going on for at least 2 days, and it will continue because it woke up again and put fuel on this yearning that I have to help you create your life, to create meaning and purpose every day. And you might think, how can I do that? Well, it starts with acknowledging choices. You have a choice, and I don't mean just what shirt you wear. Now, this shirt, if you're watching the video I have on, is a shirt I bought out there, and it says Ukrainian Patriot at the bottom, and you can't see it, and I'm not going to stand up. But I bought it out there to support, some vendor out there to do whatever, just to add my little, little piece of money to whatever. But here's the thing. It reminded me, and I'm reminding you, that you get to choose the trajectory of your life every day. So, for example, if you get up and you're pissed off because you got to go to work and you hate your job and you're grumpy to your coworkers and you're a jerk on that road driving, or you don't, that is a choice. You're creating your day with negative energy, with negative influence, and you're going further away from your ultimate life. On the other hand, you can create the same thing, go in the same car, in the same commute, with the same people, and be a beacon of light, like this picture behind me. You can choose to do that. And we forget that. We forget. And so we abdicate our choice to the weather and get mad at what it is, or to the fact that we didn't get approved for a credit card we applied for, or that we couldn't go on a vacation we wanted. And so we live in this negativity. That is a choice every day. And so if you're trying to realize how you architect your life, acknowledge and grab the power of choice every time you have it. And that is moment to moment. Literally moment to moment. And, when you're first doing this, it's going to be weird. Time's going to go by and you're going to realize you're back in old habits and patterns. That's okay. Notice and choose to be different. Notice and choose. So own your choices. Own your choices and make all of your decisions intentionally by answering this question. Given what is, what do I wish to create here? What is my desired created outcome? All right. Number two is mindset as the foundation. Now, that overlaps with the power of choice, but mindset is the way that we choose to look at life, okay? Now, one easy way to see this is optimism and pessimism. That's a choice. You look at a glass and you say half full, half empty. I'll give you another way to think about that that's more powerful and more profound. An optimistic person looks at a situation with all of its warts, all of the possibilities and all the negativity and all the barriers, and they look at that situation and they say to themselves, there's got to be a way to fix this. And so they approach the idea or whatever's going on with the idea. There's got to be a way. It's got to be a way. I'm going to find it. That is an optimistic person's mindset. A pessimistic person or a negative mindset person, fixed mindset, contraction, there's lots of words that people use, look at exactly the same situation, exactly the same opportunities and barriers, and think, I'm screwed. It'll never work. From that place of it'll never work, I can never do this, I'm screwed, you don't see the opportunities and possibilities. You don't. That mindset is what it really is, limits our vision. We do not see the possibilities that are right there in front of our face, that someone's sitting right next to you or me, looking at the very same situation, who said there's got to be a way. They'll see things you and I won't see if we're negative. Now, that's just optimism and pessimism. Another phrase that's often used is the growth mindset. The growth mindset, as opposed to the fixed mindset, the fixed mindset looks at life and says, this is probably as good as it gets. This is probably all I can have. In fact, maybe I'm lucky to even be here. I hope it doesn't turn to crap tomorrow. This is all I got. A growth mindset person looks at the very same situation and says, I wonder what I can create. This is not about greed. It's not about having more. It's about believing that there is opportunity for growth. That's a choice. You can look at something and believe you're screwed, or you can look at it and believe there's opportunity for growth, opportunity for love, opportunity for forgiveness, opportunity for lifting and blessing those around you. We are physically built so that when we're loving and serving others, we feel better. Our bodies produce neurochemistry that make you want to dance, oxytocin and other positive neurotransmitters. All right. So mindset is also completely under your control. People say, you made me mad. Bullshit. Nobody made you anything. You looked at something, you interpreted it negatively, and you chose to be mad. You're free to do that, but it limits your vision and makes us stupid. Why would we do that? And again, if you're trying to architect a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy, why, you wouldn't do that ever. Okay, number three is vision and goal setting. Now, I have people that I talk to, because I do this all the time as a coach. People say, oh, I hate setting goals. I never achieve them. I don't know what to set for a goal. I don't know. It doesn't mean very much to me to set goals. Okay, you're free to live in a place where you don't set goals. I can tell you that every single highly successful, highly recognized person that we write books about and that we make movies about and that we talk about sets goals. So you and I, we're free to not do that. We're free to say, screw it, I don't want to set goals. It's no good. Or we're free to change that belief, change our mindset, and set some goals. Now, goals are more powerful or less powerful depending on our vision. If I look forward 6 months or a year and I say, I'm going to create, if I'm doing business, so many clients, I'm going to finish another book. I just started my 21st book. And I've said to myself, I'm going to finish that by Christmas. I'm going to finish that book by Christmas to be published next year. That's a goal. I have a vision already of that book being on Amazon next to the others. So I can see that clear picture. I can see it very precisely. I haven't picked the cover yet. Have picked the title. I can see it. I know it. I have a vision. I know what I'm going to do with it. I know why I'm writing it. I know who it's for. I know how it'll fit into the other books I've got. I know exactly all that. Well, that clarity of vision, guess what it does? It provides motivation. It provides energy. So if you say your goal, I just need to make more money, you're not going to work. It's not going to work. You got to have clear, specific goals, clear, specific vision. If you say, I need a better house, I need a better apartment, Okay, what is it? How many square feet? How many bedrooms? What part of town is it in? How far from your work? Like, the more specific you get, it's not a game. It activates your subconscious mind. It does stuff in you and for you to activate your creative power. Now, you can think I'm full of crap, or you can understand this is backed by countless scientific studies that will allow you, with clear vision, to activate your creativity and your ability to see ways to get what you want. That's a fact. So again, control over your life. We're talking about architecting and creating your own version of ultimate life. The fourth thing I want to talk about is the role of habits. What habits do for us or do against us. So here's something interesting. Habits are great servants, but they are terrible masters. That's powerful enough, and I'm going to say it again. Habits are great servants, but terrible masters. Depending on the study you read, look it up. What percentage of your daily behavior is governed by habits? You'll be shocked. 80 and the high 80s. 80 high, 87, 85, 90, almost 90% of your behavior all day long, every day is controlled by habits. Now, in one way, that's really useful because we don't have the headspace to think about every decision. Breathing, heartbeat, digestion, how to drive to work. If I'm creating podcasts, which I do all the time, and I go through the, the motion, not the motions, but the activities of sweetening the audio and rendering, habit makes it faster. It makes it easier. That's where habits are great servants. They do a lot of real good for us. However, we also have habits that are terrible masters. As soon as a certain person talks to us, we get emotional, we get angry. Or when something doesn't go our way, we cuss somebody out, you flip somebody off on the road. Those habits are terrible masters. They're destructive. They do several things. One, they bring your energy, your creative power down like a rock. Two, they might make other people upset, and then you have some, either cleanup to do, or you have to choose to ignore it or whatever. But there is some peripheral fallout, collateral damage. We call that, right? So habits that you have that are creating collateral damage, you need to change. Again, if you want to take control of your life and create your ultimate life. So I'll give you some funny examples. Do you hit snooze several times in the morning? So either set your alarm at a different time or get up when you say you're going to get up. Now, obviously, we set our alarm. Often people set their alarms at a certain time because they're going to get up and make breakfast and relax and maybe check their email or, talk to the kids or their spouse or, they have a plan for what to do with that time. And they plan it based on what you plan it, based on what you think is productive and good. Then when it comes time, you think, I need 5 more minutes sleep, 5 more minutes sleep, 5 more minutes sleep. Then you get up 15, 20, 25, 30 minutes late. Then your morning is not productive. You rush around. You rush to get this, rush to get that, forget that, put stuff off. Don't do what you say you're going to do. And how does that start your day? Well, you and I both know that sucks. You start your day feeling rushed. Maybe you forget a thing or two and you're behind the eight ball. Behind the eight ball. Well, we all know what that feeling is like, and it doesn't serve you. And here's the thing, it's completely in your control. So here's the question for you and for me. Is that small amount of additional sleep worth the energetic noise that's in our head all morning? I'm late, got to skip that, got to put off the meditation or the workout. Don't have time to do that. Forget that, I'll just have a donut on the way instead of whatever breakfast you had planned, making your protein shake or something. You're trading that. And if you trade it day after day, your habit of getting that extra minute of sleep is beating the crap out of you. Maybe it traces back to the habit of going to bed late the night before. We got to stay up and watch one more episode of this, that, and the other. Those habits are wrecking your life. Maybe you have a habit of spending money you don't have. maxing out your credit cards, giving in to everything you feel like you need to buy. You know, there's all kinds of habits that we develop, and I'm not blaming anybody for having them. What I'm saying is this is the place where you exercise the levers of control. Now, in order for me to change my habits, I had to get help. I hired coaches. I took courses. I had to learn what were the triggers in me. Why were they so important? Why was I having such trouble? And guess what? I got them changed. Guess what? I'm happier. Guess what? I'm more productive. Guess what? I live your ultimate life, my ultimate life. Purpose, prosperity, and joy every day. Didn't happen overnight, but it happened by following these principles. Number five, overcoming limiting beliefs. Now, you hear all that, hear that all the time in personal development work. Limiting belief, you know, blah, blah, blah. What is that? What is a limiting belief? Well, a limiting belief is a story. It's a story that you have about your own capability. I could never do that. Here's an example. Someone wants you to give a presentation or a talk. You get scared. You say, oh, I can't do that. Oh, I don't want to do that. I'll probably screw it up. I can't. I'm not a speaker. I'm not comfortable in front of people. That's bullshit. That is a learned limit. You weren't born that way. As you were a baby, you weren't afraid to cry in front of whoever. Just go on an airplane trip and see. We all learn these limits. Now, they come from real places. Maybe you were embarrassed, you know, in front of your third grade class repeatedly, or maybe, you know, your parents laughed at you or some friends or whatever. Like, I'm undoubtedly, without question, you had a series of experiences that allowed you to create that belief. You are free to live inside that limitation. You are free to argue forever about that limiting belief. Argue for your limitations. And if you do, you will continue to own that limiting belief. I'm late all the time. I'm not detail-oriented. I'm not a morning person. I'm this. I'm that. On and on and on. Those are just labels. And the idea that they're a permanent part of your life is nonsense. They are limiting stories that up to now you have allowed to control you in ways that are not serving to create purpose, prosperity, and joy. Now, I'm not saying all your habits or beliefs are out of order. They're certainly not. I'm sure there's beliefs that are serving you like crazy. But we all have limiting beliefs, and we own them like they're, you know, like they're fact, like they're the law of gravity. Well, this is a wake-up call. They're not the law of gravity. They are a learned behavior that each of us has. And again, there are systems and processes to change them. I'm inviting you right now, if you don't know how to change them, buy the Book of Context. The Book of Context is a book that I wrote specifically about how to identify and change limiting beliefs, particularly those that you've had for a long time, that you got when you were little, and that seem woven into your DNA. Buy that, or do something else, or give up and live in the limits. But if you're tired of that, you're tired of the stories and tired of arguing for your limitations, then this is a way to fix it. The sixth one is represented by the idea of fierce ownership. Who owns your life? Simple question, who owns your life? There have been times in my life where I would have answered that what I'm supposed to do owns my life. I had a story that I got from growing up, from my parents, from my religion, from my, you know, circumstances that gave me a whole list of supposed tos. Supposed to this, supposed to that, supposed, and that owns my life. I have no choice. I have to do this. I got to do this. Have to. At the same time, I felt this deep resentment. Why can't I do what I want? Well, the truth is you can. The idea that you don't own your life is just a crock of crap. You own it. Now, if you exercise ownership of your life and do something different, either stop something or start something, it's not what you're doing now, there will be people who are affected. If someone is used to you being the place where they dump all the unpleasant tasks, oh, yeah, he'll do that. Hey, would you do that? And you go, yeah, yeah, okay. And then with this grudging feeling you do, if you stand up for yourself and say, you know what, I'm not doing that anymore. I have other stuff that I need to do with my time. You're going to piss some people off because you are no longer available to solve their moment-to-moment problems. You are no longer available for all the rides and all the things that need to be done. That's just one example. There are hundreds. There are, again, this is a process of learning and taking ownership. Often we give away ownership of our life without even thinking about it, partly because we think we're supposed to do this, that we're trying to people please or make people happy, or partly because we think we owe somebody something. You don't. What you owe is yourself to make conscious decision. Here's the difference. If somebody asks you to do something, you can look at them and say, yes, I'd be happy to do it, and then make a commitment and do it with a happy and joyous heart and do the best job they can imagine. Or you can not really want to do it, say yes anyway, be pissed off, grumpy, maybe do a good job, maybe do a half-assed job, and have this whole negative feeling. The task was the same. The request was the same. It is your creation that made it different. So you have full and complete and absolute and sovereign. Is that enough words? Full, absolute, complete, and sovereign ownership of your life. Every action you own, every thought you own, every emotion you own. Now that's a tricky one because sometimes things happen and suddenly we find ourselves feeling like whatever. But let me go back to this example on Sunday, a couple of days ago. I found myself feeling this sort of yearning, melancholy, pride, mixture of patriotism for Ukraine, even though I'm not Ukrainian, my wife is, as I attended the thing. And you say, well, you could say, well, that just happened. No, it didn't. Because emotions don't happen until we have a thought and we believe it. When there's a thought and we believe it, that's what creates the neurochemistry in our body. Sometimes that thought is subconscious, especially with long-standing habits. So if someone raises their voice and suddenly you feel fear, even though there's no imminent threat, that could be because you have a history of hearing loud voices, someone shouting, and then having it be dangerous to you. But still, there's a thought, a belief, and then a feeling. So you own your feelings. It may take some work to identify the thoughts, subconscious or not. Challenge the truth of those things. You can own your feelings 100%. No ifs, ands, or buts. Number seven, the seventh one is about how we react when things happen to us. Okay? Something bad is going to happen to you. No matter what you do, no matter what you want, no matter how careful you are, crap happens. I use the funny example of, you know, jet engine falls on the house. Your partner could betray you. A business partner could rip you off. You could get mugged in the street. A reckless or drunk driver could drive over the line and crash in your car. Someone close to you might die. Those are extreme examples. There's little examples. You could lose $100. Someone could hack your cell phone. You know, you could lose your wallet. You could get COVID unexpectedly. All those things are going to happen. No one is suggesting that you sat around wishing those things into your life. The question of life ownership comes down to your resilience and how well you adapt to those circumstances. Okay, you're going to get beat down. The question for you and me, for each of us, is how long am I going to lay there and how soon am I going to get up? After I get up, what am I going to do? Am I going to get back on the horse or am I going to say, well, that was too hard. I better not do that. You're free to do either one and you're free to change your mind. It's, I don't really want to go in that business. Or I don't really want to work that hard for this friendship. It's fine. But don't do it out of fear. Don't do it out of victim mindset. Don't do it because someone else made the rules. Do it because you make a considered choice as the architect of your beautiful dome, like the one behind you. You're the architect. So make the decisions you make on purpose with due consideration. When I got sick and died in 2018, you know, I was in a coma for a month. I lost 35 pounds. I couldn't walk. When I got out of the hospital, I had to learn to walk all over again. I literally barely could get up and down the stairs in the house, clinging to the stair rail. First time I went outside, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. Finally, I could walk to the end of the driveway and back, and then, you know, 10 feet down the road, and then 20, 30, 50, and then to the end of the block. Holy cow, that was a celebration, right? Made it to the end of the block. Oh, and then I made it around the block. You get the drill. So our resilience, our ability to come back from setback, that's all under your control. You've seen the stories. A couple of Olympics ago, there was a Winter Olympics snowboarder who was a, you know, in medal contention, had won a medal or something, half pipe or I don't know, crashed into a tree, completely trashed their body, never going to snowboard again, et cetera, et cetera. And then the story, of course, was how they refused to allow that to be the final word, and the months and months and months of rehab and work. And then, of course, they're back at the Olympics competing, and they won a silver medal in their event. Now, if they hadn't demonstrated that resilience, nobody would have made a movie. Nobody would have cared. Nobody would have done it. We love those stories. You can be one of those stories. I don't care what's happened to you. Doesn't matter what's come before. You matter now, and you can have big impact now if you decide you're going to be resilient. You're going to adapt to whatever happens. Maybe you have an accident and you end up with a limp. So you can be pissed off the rest of your life because you have this limp, or you can be adaptable and go create a powerful life anyway. Your attitude and your choice about that and mine determine our joy, determine our impact, determine how much money we make. It determines everything. All right, so there's three more, and I want to talk about them. I'm going to speed up just a little bit because I want to make sure we get through them all. And then I want to talk about a conclusion at the end. Number eight is the influence of our environment and relationships. Now, all of you know from your childhood to maybe your relationship now or a different relationship, how much relationships can impact you. If someone is your cheerleader, it feels one way. If someone is your naysayer, it feels another way. If someone just ignores you and they go off into their own life and they just, you're just sort of two people living together, you know, that creates a different dynamic. So understand the nature of the relationship with you have and make conscious choices about it. Are you going to work on it if it's not supportive? Are you going to give up on it? There is a place for both. There is a place for saying, I'm going to do this, and I'm not going to put up with that. On the other hand, there's people that say, well, my partner's not good enough. I'm going to go find somebody that is. I can promise that means that you're going to leave the next one and the next one and the next one. Because we each have the opportunity to be the powerful person we want to be, and that influences everyone around us. 9 times out of 10, a person who flees a difficult relationship, and I'm not talking about if there's, you know, real negativity or abuse or something, you're going to carry the problems with you, because the problem for most of us is in the mirror. Our mindset, our choices, our resilience, our ability and willingness to work on ourselves. The other thing about that is your environment. You know, if you're in a place, if you regularly are in a place that, you know, you can't study or you can't think or there's too much noise or it's, you know, moldy or there's physical things that don't aren't conducive to whoever you're trying to be, you've got to make some changes. Or, again, you can argue for your limitations. There's nothing I can do. I'm stuck. I don't have any money. I can't change. I can't go where I want. You may not be able to go from something that's completely negative all the way to the top of the heap in one move, but incremental growth, that's how every athlete we just watched at the Olympics got there. Nobody started. I love those commercials they have where they have the kids, you know, jumping in the pool and swimming or doing whatever. And then they, you know, another picture and another picture, another picture. And after 6 or 7 iterations, you know, there's the Olympian. Well, it takes iterations. It takes coaching. It takes work. And so if your environment is not supportive, if the relationships you have around you are poor, change them. You can change them by leaving. You can change them by working on them. You can change them by talking about it. I'm working with a group right now. Four powerful partners. They're great. They've got a great business. And one of the things I'm doing with them is working on communication and relationships. Why? Because they want better. They want to level it up. They're looking at it and saying, you know, we can do better here because, you know, they're on a high growth trajectory. So they're leveling that up on purpose to do better and be better. You can do the same thing. You own your life and you either take that ownership and do something, or me too, we do that, or we argue for our limitations. Number nine is one of the most powerful things, and that is gratitude. Gratitude. Here's what happens when we choose to be in gratitude. Now, there's never going to be a moment where everything in your life is exactly like you want it. Everything is exactly perfect. That's not going to happen. Or if it does, maybe for a microsecond. Okay, fine. So we can live in tolerance or in gratitude. All right, well, this is good enough. I guess it'll do. That creates a certain energy within us. It creates an energy of just being satisfied and wishing it was better. That energy of dissatisfaction, wishing it was better, is wasted energy. It's destructive. It gets in the way of your creativity. When we are grateful, truly grateful, oh, I'm glad I have this and this and this. Yeah, there's seven things I don't have. You know what? I'll work on those, but I am truly grateful. Now, you know, my illness is a perfect example of that. I want you to be thinking about yours. When I got out of the hospital in July of 18, after I died and spent a month in a coma, I could have been pissed off that I couldn't walk, lost 35 pounds, and looked like an escapee from a concentration camp. I could have felt like that. Instead, what I truly felt was grateful to be alive, grateful to have the chance to rebuild, grateful to understand what had happened, grateful to have a medical system that was able to, you know, allow me to recover, grateful for the visit I had with God when I died, which I'd flatlined at the beginning. So I chose to just be overwhelmed with gratitude every day. And yeah, there were 100 things missing, but it was choosing to be in gratitude that gave energy and power to my recovery. I am absolutely certain that it was faster and better, and it was way more enjoyable. Can you imagine 100 days after you get out of, maybe you've done this, 100 days after you get out of some difficult situation, a health challenge, a bankruptcy, a financial disaster, you know, relationship mess, spending the next 100 days mad, angry, frustrated, guilty, hurt, and how much growth is that going to provide? You could spend the next 100 days grateful that you're free, grateful that you're alive, grateful that you're not, you know, dying under a bridge. If it's financial, I mean, depending on the situation, there's always going to be something you can choose to be grateful for. And you might think, well, Kellen, that's really stupid. You're just pretending. No, you're not. It's a choice of how to live your life. The energy of gratitude is creation. When we're grateful, we create faster and better. When we're greedy, when we're frustrated, when we're envious, when we're in blame and negativity, it's harmful. We don't create as well. The 10th one is our attitude about learning and self-improvement. Because of the way our educational system is, you know, ranking and performance reviews at work, it's always, you know, you're looking at yourself compared to somebody else. Well, there's an appropriate time for that. At the Olympics, only one person's going to get the gold. And there's another way to look at this. Choosing to have an attitude of on continuous learning, continuous self-improvement, I can attest to that. I have a pile of 30 books sitting right over there, 3 stacks, and I'm reading them all the time. And they, you know, switch them out, more come from Amazon, I read them. Why do I do that? Because I just love to read, want to waste time? No, I am on purpose learning. I find that it's valuable. It helps my coaching. It helps me a better person. It helps me with creative ideas. It helps me make better videos, write better books, be a better coach, be a better husband to my wife, Joy, be a better host to our Ukrainian family. All those things are improved. And you know what it means? It means I'm happier. I feel better. And so this whole list of things has been about creating your ultimate life, creating purpose, prosperity, and joy. Well, when I feel good, I'm more creative. When I feel good, my days pass in fun and in joy. Everything is bright. It's another beautiful thing about this picture, the bright light. If we choose to look at our weakness, if we choose to look at others' failings, if we choose to look at what's missing, we will find them. And that finding will color everything that we think, that we do, and it makes us bitter. It dampens creativity. It makes us less powerful mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. I referred to optimism way back in the beginning, and it kind of comes around here too, continuous learning and improving yourself on purpose. The study, a big, long, best of its kind study ever done, proved conclusively and without any hesitation, people that choose this positive approach live longer, many years longer. They make more money. They have less divorces. They rate themselves as being happier overall. And the list goes on and on and on. So the idea that you and I can create life and any way you want is absolute truth. The power of choice. Mindset is your foundation. Create goals and vision. Check your habits and don't be a slave. Challenge your limiting beliefs. Doubt your doubts. Take full and fierce ownership of your life. Make a choice to be resilient no matter how many times you get kicked to the curb. Clean up your environment. Remove yourself from relationships you need to. Treat yourself like the divine being that you are. Choose to live in gratitude and engage every single day in continuous growth and improvement. Now, those aren't the only 10 things you could do, but I can make you a solemn promise right here, right now. If you pursue those, what to do will occur to you naturally. Your growth will happen. It really will. And by growth, I mean purpose, prosperity, more money, better job, better relationship, more smiles on your face. You'll feel better. You'll be excited about life. It happens. It happens. I promise. I'm the poster child of doing that. When I started on my self-improvement journey in 2007, which is now 17 years ago, you wouldn't know this person. If you want to know the details, it's in the book Tightrope of Depression, My Journey from Darkness, Despair, and Death to Light, Love, and Life. And it's a true and honest journey. I invite you at this moment to take note, this URL here on the screen. www.yourultimatelife.ca. There's something there. You can have it. It doesn't cost any money, but it'll cost a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. It is called the 5 Master Keys to Creating Life on Your Terms. 5 Master Keys to Create Your Ultimate Life. But it is the magic. It is the magic wand to creating the life you really want. I call it purpose, prosperity, and joy, and you have your own words, but you can have it. The only thing that's in the way of you having what you want, or me, of you manifesting anything you want, or me manifesting it, is our willingness to do the work, to do these 10 things about who we are, what we believe about ourselves, what we believe is possible, and how we show up every day in the world. Someone earlier today asked me about my daily creation process. You can call it a morning ritual, but I don't like that phrase. I told him what I had, you know what I did? And it's long. It's 2.5 hours. And people say, I don't have that kind of time. It creates time, but you know what I get out of it? I enter my day every single day. I draw breath, happy, excited, powerful, focused, creative, full of energy, ready to serve, ready to do whatever's going to happen, whether we're going out to a cultural celebration or whether I'm creating videos or music or whether I'm serving clients or whether I'm doing the dishes. Every day it's happy and joyful. So I can make you a promise. You can create the life of your dreams. You can create your ultimate life. You can have anything you want, but only if you're willing to walk the road that goes there. My mission is to help 250 million people. I want to include you. I invite you to reach out. I invite you to look me up on Amazon. Follow me on all the socials. I put tons of encouraging stuff there, and I'd love to chat with you if you're interested. And if you want my help, because that's all I do, and it's the most joyful job in the world, I promise you, if you put your heart in it and never quit, nothing will be in the way of you creating your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.